Hey, everybody. Welcome to Rumor versus Facts. My name is Rodney Nabulsi. I'm joined by Lance McCurley. Jed May would be with us, but he's actually interviewing a top quarterback commit right now by the name of Jared Curtis. So he's busy asking him questions. Crazy timing on that. It just worked out. Yeah. And then Trent Smallwood, who would also be with us, he's in the middle of an interview too. So what are you going to do? It's just the good thing is the guys at UGA Sports, even Lance, sometimes turn around copy and turn around stories and put out a lot of good stuff. And we've had a lot to talk about tonight. It's one of those nights I think we'd all rather be watching the LSU Iowa game, but it's just too much going on. And I think right now the Bulldogs are on commit watch. There's two big names that are going to make their decisions, two 2025 guys that are going to announce this week. Plus, Georgia just hosted an Alabama commit, running back commit. They just took in a wide receiver who was committed to Ohio State until the 26th of March. So a lot going on. We need to talk about it, Lance. Busy weekend for the Georgia Bulldogs. They had their first scrimmage. We had a ton of scrimmage notes on UGASports.com. A lot of other people went and copied our notes and rewrote them as if they were their own notes, which is BS, but we're used to that. We've been doing this many years. People steal our stuff. It happens. But I thought it was a very interesting, the notes we got from scrimmage were really, really good, very concise. And there were a lot of recruits watching that. And you guys talked to a lot of 2025 guys, 2026 guys, and they raved about the scrimmage. They raved about the way Georgia practices. I want to focus, though, to me on what I don't want to say he's the number one guy that visited, but to me, it was the number one intriguing. I asked you guys about this earlier, and you guys were all over it. I'm like, what is this Alabama running back doing coming visiting Georgia? And y'all like, God, Roddy, don't you read our own board? He's going to be here. Oh, and then there was a commit last week. So let's back up. Let's start there and then hit the Anthony Rogers stuff. I want to add this. Charlie Hamm, Duke kicker. Commits to Georgia. Give your thoughts there.
Yeah, I mean, we were obviously discussing on before if he was related to, is it William Hamm or something?
William Hamm, baby. Yes, sir.
Former, turns out they're not. This is, I remember watching a few Duke games last year when, they kind of went on their little run there at the start of the season. And, I was impressed by him. He's a Westminster kid out of Atlanta. He's an in-state kid. And that's a bit, that's a big, pull, especially for, Georgia, even though, they're coming off using a true freshman who made a few mistakes, but this is a guy that it's good to have in the locker room and just good to, the depth at kicker in case they need him.
Well, to me, the word I got, he is a preferred walk-on. He's not a scholarship guy. Georgia, I think, is over the scholarship number by the time everybody arrives in, the five or six guys who are not early enrollees out of this 2024 class. When those guys get here, I think Georgia will be over the scholarship limit. So we expect a good deal of attrition come April 15th.
Yeah.
So once the portal opens, I don't say Georgia's cutting people, but guys are going to transfer. We saw the big transfer portal open up in December and then we're going crazy. There's going to be more maneuvering and tinkering come April 15th. But so this guy's not taking up a scholarship spot. He has 1 year left. And Georgia lost its kickoff guy, Jared Zirkle, to Texas A&M.
Yeah.
He's kicking. And Zirkle kicked the ball out of the back of the end zone half the time. Kirby Smart does not like to give the other team a chance to return the ball. So you need a kickoff specialist, and that looks like what William Hamm's going to – William Hamm. I already did it. Charlie Hamm's going to come in and do. And he can also be a place kicker as well. So This guy was a Lou Groza semifinalist.
So, really?
Yeah, 2022, academic All-ACC, which you got to like, from Duke, and semifinalist for the Lou Groza Award as a freshman. So not too shabby. The connection, though, people wonder, why are you getting a Duke kicker? His coach his first 2 years was Kirk Benedict, Georgia's current special teams coordinator. So,
and there's probably a lot of ties with him and him being from Atlanta and just being an hour and a half down the road growing up playing at Westminster. So that's not a bad thing. I totally forgot about the Zirkle thing. Didn't Zirkle kick in the Orange Bowl though as well?
he did. You know, I think that was really kind of show off what he could do. Potential schools will want to sign him. That's kind of a courtesy, I think. But yeah, you kick and Zirkle's good. But you know, when you got it, Paid Woodring, that kid's amazing. And the kicking in the scrimmage and the punting in the scrimmage, they were lights out. A lot of, if you talk to anybody who was there, they're like, wow, the kicking was really, really good. I know a lot of people don't want to hear about kicking, but trust me, Kirby Smart talks about it a lot. So I thought the Charlie Ham holding the shirt out saying, making my dad proud, you know, being a Georgia guy, living in Georgia, that's going to make him happy. So anyway, that's enough about him. Let's move on to what I thought was the most interesting visitor of the weekend. Bama tailback commit, Anthony Rogers. Looking kid, 5'9", 180 pounds. I mean, you know, he's not the tallest guy. He's not the biggest guy, but big thighs, put up a lot of yards. Top 100 guy currently committed to Alabama. Number one at his position as an all-purpose back. So I'm thinking that's interesting. And he's out of, you know, Montgomery. That's a tough pull. But,
yeah,
the way he talked about Georgia –
I mean, you would assume that he, you know, knows the short history or long history of, you know, Georgia running backs. But you're right. I mean, that's right in the middle of kind of that Bama Auburn battleground right there in Montgomery.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to pull a kid out of a guy. It can happen. It does. But I'm not going to get too excited about this. I just thought it was very interesting that if Dale McGee had a kid come visit, you know, I'm not shocked. Most people would want to come pay homage to Dale McGee because they all knew him. They all liked him. Yeah. But Josh Crawford, that's a big pull for the new coach. So
yeah,
that's kind of impressive on his end. So give me your thoughts there. What did Georgia's 2025 running back class? And we got Jed joining us after his thing here. Well, actually, let me throw this to Jed. Jed, you wrote this story. Any chances George is able to flip Anthony Rogers?
I'll be honest. I mean, I don't see it. I just think he's a guy who's taking his visits. He's exploring his options. He should. He does have a longstanding relationship with Georgia anyway. Obviously, Josh Crawford wasn't the guy who has been recruiting him. I just think Georgia's second running back, I should say, is more likely to come from a pool of – you look at Usmani Chroma, who had a story on recently, Georgia surging for him. Donovan Johnson, originally from Savannah, now at IMG, who Georgia loves, or he loves Georgia a lot, being a Savannah guy. So, you know, definitely not impossible at all. But he was very – there's a long way to go, I'll put it that way. He could be a guy that Georgia really, really turns the heat up on later in the cycle. He did mention down toward the bottom there that he's considering an official visit. So I don't know. It didn't necessarily sound like a guy who was super in love with Georgia, but definitely a guy that is you know, keeping Georgia an option, continuing to build that relationship with Josh Crawford, and you see how it ends up down the line. You don't burn any of these bridges for sure, because you never know what could happen down the line.
See, that's the way I felt based just on the fact that he's in Montgomery. I mean, what you said is exactly how I thought. I'm like, hey, it's possible. Georgia's pulled some really good players out of Alabama. But folks in the state of Georgia or folks who follow the Georgia program do not understand, or maybe they do, but a large majority do not understand the pressures on any kid in the state of Alabama to play for Alabama or Auburn. They'll ask you, where are you going, Alabama or Auburn? They don't ask you, are you going to LSU? Or you're going to Tennessee, or you're going to Georgia, you're going to Florida, going to FSU. Every question is Auburn or Bama. And talk to any kid over there, like, yeah, that's the question I get 900 times a day until I commit. So it's almost like it's unheard of to do anything besides that. So anyway, so I think it's a good, interesting visit. We'll keep an eye on it. But it if he doesn't visit, you know you don't have a chance. You can put him in his top five or so, but if he actually does show up, then it kind of matters.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to switch gears again. Big visitor tomorrow. Give me your thoughts on Matt Zollers and why tomorrow is such a big deal.
I mean,
right before the start of his, or he commits on Thursday. So, mm-hmm. you know, Georgia's getting one of the, I believe it's the last two visits. And this is a guy that, you know, obviously Juju's probably number one. This guy's probably like, Juju's probably like 1A. Matt Zollers is 1B, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because Zollers' recruitment really didn't, like, take off till, like, January. Like, I want to say his first visit was it late January, maybe that February 3rd weekend. So this is his second visit to Georgia. And so, theoretically, he could commit to Georgia on Thursday, having been to a campus twice, which is very – and like you said, Lance, this is the last visit. And, you know, people have been asking on the board today what we think. I truly think it's wide open until tomorrow. Like, this could go a number of ways. Georgia could blow his doors off tomorrow and land him on Thursday. He could, you know, not love it so much and go to Missouri, could go to Penn State. I think Pitt is the team that's not talked about a whole lot, and his brother is a walk-on receiver there. So there's a case to be made, I guess, for every school. I will say with Georgia, what he really likes is stability is very important. As far as a coaching staff goes, and you've got a head coach who's not going anywhere, and you've got an offensive coordinator who's not going anywhere, both of whom obviously are alums of the school. So in terms of stability, I mean, you look at Penn State, James Franklin is always being floated for other jobs, slash people want to run him out of town because he can't beat Ohio State or Michigan. You know, Eli Drinkwitz obviously is doing a great job at Missouri. I believe they have had coordinator turnover. So which a lot of programs do, but Georgia is a very unique scenario with the head coach OC combination they have at the moment. So that's, I think, the biggest thing Georgia's got going in its favor. But again, it's I don't think any team necessarily leads, and I don't know that any team thinks they lead.
Yeah.
Now going into this, it truly could go. I don't think it'll be Pitt, even with the brother angle, but it could be any one of Georgia, Missouri, or Penn State. I really wouldn't necessarily be shocked.
This is a kid. He's tough to get a read on. I will give Mike Bobo benefit of the doubt when it comes to recruiting quarterbacks. I mean, has a very good history of landing top guys. I know people want to go back to the Deshaun Watson thing. And I remember, you know, Deshaun tweeting out something about the fact that, oh, Mike doesn't want me. And I actually did a story for ESPN at the time. I'm like, what did you mean by that? And there was a lot more to it than what a lot of people took away from that. But, you know, when Mike is targeted a guy, he tends to land him. The fact that they're in it for Juju Lewis. I mean, if Mike and Kirby Smart were not good recruiters, they wouldn't be in it for Juju Lewis.
Yeah.
So the question I want to pose to both of you is the question we just got from James Caraway, who's a fantastic commenter on our thing. We appreciate him. Says, would this commitment or not commitment mean anything to Juju? If he doesn't commit, do we read something into Juju about that? Or if he does commit, do we think, well, that's it for Juju? So give me your – does he indicate one way or the other where the fight for Juju Lewis stands?
I don't think his commitment indicates anything necessarily. I do think if he does commit, Georgia will continue to pursue Juju Lewis, but – I also don't think Georgia would you know, process Matt Zollers for Juju Lewis, because if you're going to do that, why, you know, take his commitment in the first place? So it's a very –
because you don't know that you're going to get Juju. So you
But we've been talking about this. You know, we throw Ryan Montgomery into the shuffle too. There's a scenario where Georgia could get one, maybe two of these guys, and there's also a real scenario where they get none of them. So
– yeah, fair.
I mean, if it was me, I would take Matt Zollers, and if Julian Lewis wants to come on board and compete with it, great. Feels like he'd rather go to USC or Auburn or Colorado or whatever, you know, fine. You know, to be honest with you, I don't know a ton about Zollers in terms of his play style, because A, he's from Pennsylvania, B, he hadn't been on the radar that long. But folks who know, like Adam Friedman, think he's got a lot of upside there. So if we're talking about potential, he's a guy who could end up being as good as Julian Lewis online. Like, he's got the wheels. Kind of, yeah. It's like watching Jared Curtis on you know, whenever that was last week. I'm like, damn, this kid can move. So I don't think what Matt Zollers does on Thursday indicates anything as far as where the Lewis race stands. No, but I do think it, I guess more so if he does commit to Georgia, it could affect how the Lewis camp would view Georgia, you know, going down.
Look at that pass right there.
That was beautiful. My thought on this, and I'll get you in here in just a second, Lance. If you get Matt Zollers, Kirby has shown you can win championships without the best quarterback in America.
Mm-hmm.
You surround them with the best players, be sure they make good decisions, you can win. It would be almost like a cheat code if he did have the best quarterback in America. And don't get me wrong, everyone knows I'm a Stetson fan. I think he was way underrated, undervalued. I covered him as a walk-on. I covered him when he came back. You know, I've been telling people y'all are wrong about this kid, you know, for 5-6 years, however long it was. Felt the same about a number of guys, but I'm not a quarterback analyst by any means. But my point is, it's not make or break like it would be for a Missouri. If Missouri's going to win a national championship, right, they need this guy. You know, if Penn State's going to win one, they need this guy. That does open up. There's some questions there about, you know, NIL. Yeah. If you're Missouri and you've already paid for Nwaneri Williams, you know, you've paid for Luther Burden, you can go to your guy and say, look, now we just need this QB. And I could see it. And I don't think Kirby's going to match that. And that's not to say that, you know, this Zoller's just looking for that. I'm just saying that that could have effect to it. Kirby can do this. He doesn't, in other words, it's not juju or bust, or we won't get titles. I can win with Matt Zoller's, and that makes it easy. So to me, the quarterback in hand is worth the juju in the bush. So, but you also know how Kirby recruits. Will not stop. I need two quarterbacks. No question. So I could see him trying to get both. Maybe Ryan Montgomery as well. Hey, if you can get Zollers and Montgomery, great. I don't think on Juju's part, if they go, oh, well, y'all just took this kid, I'm not going to go there. Juju and his camp think that he's the best regardless. So they don't see this as a, oh, there's somebody I got to go against. They figure whoever they're up against, they're going to win. And they're probably right. So I don't know that you really hurt your chances by signing him, especially if you're like, look, we're going to say, you know, best man wins, and you're going to have to beat out somebody at USC if you go there. You're going to have to beat out somebody at Colorado if you go there. You're going to have to beat out somebody at Auburn, Alabama. Wherever you go, there's a possibility you're going to have somebody in your own class. So in other words, I agree with you. I don't think we can read too much into it.
Mm-hmm.
We will, because that's what we do. But yeah, I don't think it'll be fair. All right, Lance, give me your thoughts. If you want to argue, feel free.
No, I mean, I kind of agree with Jed. I can see that, you know, I obviously think if they get Zollers on Thursday, I don't think that they personally stop recruiting Juju. Because like you said, Kirby's a menace on the recruiting trail. He will get whatever he tries to get what he can. And it's happened before. I mean, we saw, you know, last minute them being able to flip KJ Bolden. This recruitment isn't like that. I think that Juju's is going to be a little bit more like that. But, I mean, I can also see how, you know, if Zollers doesn't commit and then they try to pursue Juju too hard and maybe he burns them and then, you know, they might not get both. I can see a scenario which would be, you know, kind of catastrophic for this class with, you know, Beck leaving this year, even though they've got Curtis and coming in 26. And then they've got, you know, Pug now. You know, what does that leave you? Two guys? And I'm sure they'll find someone if they don't get either of these guys. But I mean, it's kind of a risk taking him, and then you know, maybe wanting to throw, you know, later in you know, August to you know, October, trying to push all the chips in the middle of the table for Juju. But you know,
or hey, maybe they put all their chips in and try to get this kid flipped from Penn State.
That is very true. And I honestly think that if that happens and they miss on Juju and then they miss on Zollers first and then they miss on Juju, I think that it'll be a hell of a lot easier to be able to flip Matt Zollers than trying to pull Juju back in.
The only reason I say that, it's not to say that this kid would flip. You know, I don't know him. I've never spoken to him. He's not the easiest to get a hold of. We're looking at, like, no matter what happens, they're going to keep going after Juju. They could keep going after Matt Zollers. And to your point, Jed, tomorrow will be his second visit. Well, what if you get him for a third visit, you know, in a couple months? You get him for an official visit in the summer. You get him back, you know, for a game, you know, one of the games you're hosting in the fall. Even if he is committed somewhere else. So, I mean, if they need a quarterback, they're not going to – commitments don't mean crap.
Well, and I was just talking about stability. Like, what happens if December comes around and James Franklin leaves or Missouri's offensive coordinator leaves? Or, you know, that could play into things as well. So, yeah, it's – that we've talked a lot about this, but the reality is it's going to go all the way till signing day no matter what. So, but, yeah, this is the first – we've been talking so much about quarterback dominoes. This is the first one that actually is going to fall because Ryan Montgomery is going into the summer, you know, it looks like, with official visits and stuff. Julian Lewis is, you know, he has said he wants things to be done by the season, which is still, you know, 3-4 months away. This is the first one that's actually going to fall. Someone is going to get Matt Zollers, and you know, the schools who don't will have to formulate their plans from there.
You just got off the phone with Jared Curtis, I'm assuming.
I did.
Talk to us about Jared Curtis, because let's say that worst case scenario, they don't get either one of their top three choices of quarterbacks. They don't get Ryan Montgomery. They don't get Juju Lewis. They don't get Matt Zollers. But Jared Curtis is – I mean, I saw someone compare him to Matt Stafford. You know, this kid's elite. You talk to him. What do you think?
Yeah, well, he's got highlights that kind of look like Zollers. He got a big arm. He can move. We were watching him last week, and he was running all over the place, and that's what Kirby wants in a quarterback in modern college football. He's a first commit, so you've got the prototypical get the quarterback in the class and let him build it around him kind of deal going on. He said he committed not this past weekend, but weekend before, and he said, yeah, you know, I've been down there a lot. I always like it down there. Didn't really go into the visit thinking I would commit, but he said he was talking with Kirby Smart just about spring break, and Kirby was talking about a lake house or something he has, and you know, it all just felt right, and he went ahead and pulled the trigger, because as we mentioned last week, he had said to our national analysts, hey, I'm going to take some visits. I'm going to he even wears number two like Matt Zollers. The DeJuan Mathis tradition will
that dude. Jesus.
I'm gonna take some visits, I'm gonna commit next year, and then boom, out of nowhere, he commits to Georgia while on a visit. So he got the feeling in Athens, like Zollers, he's got the stability of Bobo and not Monk and Kirby. He said Georgia's always been mom's favorite school as far as the schools recruiting him. We know how important that can be. So I don't know. It just all kind of boiled together into a perfect storm of get him back for a visit, see how practice goes, and he went ahead and pulled the trigger.
Jesus, what an arm!
Did you ask him what kind of pizza he got when I was?
I did not. We glossed over that, but he did say he's got a good time in Athens. He'll be back in Athens a lot. Obviously, being a commit now, so. And he did say, he's like, I'm already working on guys who are committed, trying to get them to flip, get guys to visit with my 7-on-7 team or whatever. He's reached out to some guys in the 2025 class to try to work on them already. So he's wasting no time in kind of being the face of that 2026 class going forward.
Man, just flick of a wrist there, and he throws the ball 40 yards for a touchdown while rolling to his right. That's just filthy. So anyway, with Ryan Puglisi, who's nursing a sore knee, this year is the year of Carson Beck, who's looking fantastic at scrimmages, very poised, very much in control. Hopefully he stays healthy all year. Then next year you've got the Ryan Puglisi versus Gunnar Stockton battle. Either one of those guys can do it. The following year, it could be maybe it's the Ryan Puglisi show. And then all of a sudden, a young Jared Curtis comes in here. Now, ideally, in between those, you want a Juju sandwich, you know.
Yeah.
Or a Matt Zoller sandwich, or heck, even Ryan Montgomery, or somebody we don't know about. And the transfer portal. Again, the transfer portal is going to go nuts. Just warning people ahead of time. It's coming. So, I could see double-digit guys, you know, in or out. So, it's just that's the way it's going to be. Could it be a quarterback? Oh, it wouldn't shock me. But so we know Matt Zollers is going to announce or the side this coming Thursday. Somebody else is going to announce Friday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mason Short, you know, the Rivals 100 lineman out of Evans has visited Georgia a lot. He visited in January. He visited, I want to say, that first week of spring practices, I believe, March 16th. Has been in Athens a ton. And it's really, you know,
is it right after the Saban news?
Yeah, he had a visit scheduled. So I guess it was that first week in January. He had a first visit weekend in January. He had that visit scheduled anyway, and then Saban retired, and all of a sudden it's boomed. And then, like, Kirby visited him at his school, like, the day he decommitted. Like, there was a whole lot of Georgia momentum, like, right there at the beginning. And I've interviewed him, you know, recently in the past couple of weeks. And, you know, it was Georgia, Clemson, Ohio State, Kentucky. Georgia and Clemson looked like the top two. He was going to take visits to everybody, and now all of a sudden he puts out the commitment date of this Friday. So, you know, he hasn't visited Kentucky, hadn't visited Ohio State much. So this is a Georgia Clemson deal now. And I really like where Georgia's at. I think he's got a great relationship with Stacy Searles. I think he's been at Georgia a ton. He's known Kirby Smart for a while. He's gotten to know Tate Ratledge a lot. They talk about hunting, fishing, all that good stuff that you'd expect Tate Ratledge to talk to a recruit about. They look alike. That's Georgia's comparison for him is Tate Ratledge. Yeah. He told me last time I talked to him, they put up a side-by-side graphic, and they're like, you know, pretty similar height, build, highlights, whatever, coming out of high school. So the vision for him is a tackle. He could end up playing guard. Obviously, Tate Ratledge has played guard most of his career, but
the vision for Tate coming in was a tackle too.
Right, exactly. And he's told me last time I talked to him that's been the vision for him from Stacy Searles. Anything could happen, but yeah, it's a Georgia Clemson deal, and I really, really like where Georgia's at. I would be surprised if it's not Georgia on a Friday, but they would give Clemson and Matt Luke credit because they have made a serious, kind of like they have with David Sanders, they have made a serious charge over the past couple months to get in this thing. You had a great visit to Clemson. I guess that was also in January, maybe. Hit on the golf simulator, Dabo's house. They got the whole experience there. So Clemson has made it close. It's been a head-to-head battle for a while, but I'm picking Georgia on Friday for sure.
You're picking them. I agree with you because I just thought that while he was committed, he was making that big visit to Georgia. He's from Evans. I keep seeing the field there. I've been to Evans many times. I know that grass, man, or fake grass. I've been to that stadium. Go to Augusta with some frequency. There's always good talent out of the Augusta area. A lot of great high school football played there. We've covered it a lot. He's different when he talks about Georgia. You just see his kind of face light up. You know, I don't want to get too psychoanalytical, but usually when you see that, lots of times it plays out. You know, it's like, why do you think this guy's going to come here? You know, well, that's just the way he talked about Georgia. It was different. You know, Zaki Helton, kid. We mentioned this last week. He just tells a reporter, "I'm never flipping from Georgia. I mean, flipping from Alabama." Then someone asked him, me or the guy next to me, said, "Hey, who's still recruiting you?" "Oh, Georgia." You know, and just like lit up about him. Sure enough, he decommits from Alabama and now has named Georgia as his leader. I'm like, sometimes you know. It is what it is. So, again, that's why we're kind of clueless on Matt Zollers. You know, you just haven't had the FaceTime with him to see his body language, how it changes, you know. That's kind of felt the way I felt though about, you know, David Sanders. When he talked about Georgia, he was ebullient, but time changes. So that brings up the factor fiction from the other day. I want to bring it up real quick. So if Georgia gets, say they wind up getting Mason Short, does that help them with David Sanders? Because apparently our national guys don't think that David Sanders is going to wind up at Georgia. They say it's fiction that's where he's going to go.
I mean, I will say Mason and David Sanders have gotten really close through the recruitment process. They try to line up their visits together. They actually, matter of fact, were at Georgia together a couple weeks ago. So they try to line up their visits together, hang out, whatever. So, I mean, from that standpoint, it would help. But I mean, like I just mentioned with Mason Short, Clemson has made up a lot of ground in not a lot of time with David Sanders. So I think both are, you know, have become Georgia Clemson battles. I think Georgia's going to win the one for Mason Short. That Clemson one, man, I don't know. And that would be, you know, David Sanders is that, and you know, if Trent would hear, Trent still raves about seeing him at Under Armour last year, but he is a different kind of talent on the offensive line. So it would hurt having him go to Clemson. Georgia obviously is still now, and I mentioned this last week, I think he's the first official visit, or Clemson's official visit weekend is May 31st through June 2nd. That's when they do all their official visits, one weekend. David Sanders' official visit to Georgia is scheduled for the weekend after. Last year, Sammy Brown was in a similar position, and he goes ahead and pulls the trigger on Clemson before he even gets to Georgia. And I would bet some serious money that Clemson will try to get David Sanders to do the same thing and commit to them while he's on that official visit.
Yeah.
Will he? I don't know. And, you know, if he doesn't commit that weekend, he very well could end up committing to Clemson in July, August, December, whatever. But I think that's Georgia's next big obstacle is you've got to get through that visit, get him on campus for your official visit, and then let the chips kind of shake out from there.
That makes perfect sense. The other thing that got into the national guys were talking about was Justice Terry. They're like, will Justice Terry end up flipping back to Georgia at some point? Adam Gorney says, no, I don't think he will. I think he's going to stick with USC or Florida State. But, he's not taking a shot at Georgia. He knows that the kid could. But Adam's got pretty good instincts. But you're like, I think he will flip back. So give us a thought. I thought it was very interesting that we broke the news, what was it, midweek last week, that Justice Terry, just days after he committed to USC, was due back in Athens this past weekend. Mm-hmm. He rescheduled it with Easter being here, and he'll be in town in 2 weeks, which lets him come in Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So he gets all day Friday plus G-Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's big. And then head back on Sunday. Thoughts on Justice Terry? Because that still stings.
I just think the Georgia's got too much going for it. I mean, he committed here in the first place. I just think the USC one, it's I hate saying visit high because that makes these kids seem like super impressionable or whatever. And like, who could imagine a high school kid being impressionable? But I think eventually when you really get down to it and you're like, okay, I've got to put pen to paper, what Georgia can offer you close to home, relationship with Trey Scott, development. You know, like you mentioned last week, Roddy, Manchester is such a huge Georgia area. You know, there's so many things working in Georgia's favor that I think ultimately when it gets time to listen, you can flip commitments at the drop of a hat. Kids can do that, can and do that all the time. But I think when it gets time to make the real decision to sign, I think Georgia will have too much going in its favor to pass up.
And can I add to that point? Well, Roddy, you were just talking about guys that, you know, when you speak to them, when you mention Georgia, like they just pop, their body language changes to positive every time. But I've talked to Justice Terry, and that's been 3 or 4 times over the last 6 to 8 months. He gets that smile. He doesn't really say a lot, but like, even talking to him after this day, after Manchester State Championship loss and all the sad things that went on with him losing a teammate, you know, right before that game, he still smiled about when you mentioned Georgia. I mean, it's one of those things that he's always like, man, it's hometown. He kind of rambles on and just how much he loves it. But, you know, he's one of those kids that when you say the name, the name just pops and sticks to him.
True. And again, it's not a foolproof system, as you know, there have been plenty of kids. Well, I remember when the LSU defensive lineman, Mason Smith, man, he did the same thing about Georgia. He just raved about it. And you could see that. And you could tell he's not he told me off the record, I love that place, man. I'd be happy to go there. And I told folks, Georgia has a real shot at this. Yeah, didn't work out. You know, so Justice Terry, he could love Georgia, but sometimes you, as the people are saying here, sometimes they want NIL more than they want a natty. Yeah, I mean, a natty, how much does a natty pay you? How much does a natty help your family versus a huge NIL deal, you know? Going and playing for a coach who coached Aaron Donald. Mm-hmm. It's not too shabby. So,
yeah.
Again, coming to Georgia, you could play for a coach who's got a ton of guys in the first round of the draft. He's going to get developed. He's going to make it to the NFL no matter where he goes. Some schools are going to have a better offer for him. Georgia might change that. I know there is some money folks in Manchester, LaGrange, Columbus area that know what a talent he is, that would like for him to be the face of their company. So Georgia might be on equal footing with Lincoln Riley's NIL programs. It is what it is. All right. I kind of want to finish up with this last guy. I thought this was very interesting. Tell me about Mr. Boggs here, the guy that was committed to Ohio State very recently and then decommits and comes to Georgia. That's a very familiar refrain.
Yeah, decommitted from Ohio State was last 26th. Week sometime. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, first visit is bang. He's heading to Athens. So, and it's we've kind of been talking about receiver. And it's okay, it's C.J. Wiley, it's Travis Smith, it's Taylen Taylor, it's Eugene Hilton. This kind of pool of guys, and all of a sudden, Javon Boggs shows up, and Georgia looks to be in a solid spot with him because he, you know, you scroll down the story, right? He raves about Georgia, raves about the scrimmage, raves about James Coley. He's already got an official visit set up for that weekend of June 14th. So this is a guy who all of a sudden can be thrown into that pool of Wiley, Smith, Taylor, Hilton, I don't know, whoever else is in that group of guys to really watch at Georgia. Like, you know, maybe three, maybe four high school receivers anyway. Obviously, they've made a habit of getting portal guys the last couple of years, but probably for sure three high school guys. And this, all again, is a guy who is absolutely a name to watch in that group that could end up – I mean, the way it sounds is the decommitment's a reset. It's not like he's going to decommit and then commit in the next week or two. But as the summer goes along, and I think, you know, John Garcia says later in the story, he wants to be off the board by the start of the season. I think if Georgia nails that official visit in June – that they've got a pretty decent shot at landing him.
I love that you got James Coley back. Now, Brian McClendon, great recruiter, renowned for it. But there's just something about Coley, and you can see him raving there. Coley, he's a great coach. Coaches receive his hearts and puts them in the best position to make plays. Me and Coley's relationship is great. Still building our relationship, but it's great. You know, great, 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 great. Sammy, James, do not bet against James Coley when it comes to landing kids, especially out of Florida. Cocoa Beach, Cocoa area. No, I'll take that. I'll take any kid out of Cocoa, Florida. I'll take any speed guy or any skill guy out of Florida. Just give me my running backs out of North Carolina and give me my linemen out of Georgia and Alabama and Louisiana, my offensive defensive linemen, and give me some skill kids out of Florida and a quarterback out of Texas or California. I'm good. Well, or Georgia. A lot of good Georgia quarterbacks. But again, Florida wide receiver. I got it. Lance, thoughts on Boggs?
Boggs is one of those kids that's obviously, you know, a big name, obviously, because he was committed to Ohio State. But, you know, you look at him, 6'1", 190 pounds. I mentioned this last week, that Georgia's kind of going with at least C.J. Wiley and Travis Smith, the kind of taller receivers. But I mean, yeah. this kid's something different. I watched his tape after he decommitted from Ohio State, and his just ability to get off the ball and just create separation kind of reminded me of how great Ladd McConkey was at Georgia. Just being able to get open, and he's got speed. And like you said, you know, if I'm a college football coach, you know, I want some kids that, you know, come out of South Florida that. Yeah, I mean, just caught it right through that hole. If you're
Just the rude stiff arm there, man. I love it.
And just his ability to just to run into find open space and just evade tackles. He just right there. Broke that tackle and just find the end zone. Kid's a freak.
Look at Coco going five wide, man, in high school. That's just rude.
Yeah.
I love it. Look at that stuff. It's fun to watch. So, yeah, kid can go. I'll always take a kid out of Florida if you a receiver.
Who's the NFL receiver that came out and from South Florida and was like, yeah, we like chase bunny rabbits or something like that? That's like a thing. It's like they like.
Oh, dude, yeah. There you need to look up.
It's like a Bobby Bowden thing, right?
Yeah, the rabbit chasers, Sugar Cane Fields. You know, these rabbits come out, they try to run them down.
Yeah, I mean that's what those people do, and that's what works.
Well, no, I mean the thing about the state of Florida, it's hot. You know, the heat doesn't affect these kids when they come to Georgia or Clemson or Tennessee or you know something like that. It's hot there. They're outside, you know, playing sunny days. They play till late. The 7-on-7 scene in Florida is nuts. You know, it's more skill guys. You don't run into as many per capita big linemen as you do. It's more skill oriented versus, say, go to high school football in Nebraska or Texas. You know, there's more ground and pound there. But
yeah, you got the corn fed.
The speed, man, the speed in Florida is just
– it's different.
It's unmatched. I mean, and trust me, I'm a guy with a lot of state pride. But I know if I can get a cornerback or a safety or a wide receiver, I'll take a Florida kid.
Yeah. So
just it is what it is. Jed, what you got coming up? I know you just spoke to Jared Curtis. What else you got this week? What folks look forward to?
Yeah, well, before my brother's bachelor party this weekend, shout out to, some gambling and golf. Jared Curtis story. We've got, I know, a couple more visit stories to work through from this weekend. Darius Dixon, Rivals 100 guy, California was in town. Nasir McCoy, for all of you lovers of Buford High School out there, he's kind of next up in the safety pipeline at Buford. Visited Georgia on Saturday, going right back tomorrow. So we'll have a story on him later this week. And then next week we got G-Day. We also have, there's a Rivals camp in Charlotte. There's an Under Armour camp in Nashville. So, we'll get a chance to see a lot of these guys in person, not just, talk to them, get interviews, whatever, but also get to see a lot of them in person over the next few weeks too. So that's going to be exciting heading into the summer, and official visits coming up soon.
Good stuff. I guess we can't forget our friends at the Rogue Shop. If you see the bottom there, Rumors versus Facts is presented by our friends at the Rogue Shop. Use promo code BULLDOGS10 to get 10% off your next order. They've got the Delta 8, Delta 9. They have tinctures. They have anti-inflammation creams. You have chronic pain, they can take care of you. And we had a lot of people get really excited about the Duro song. He did a remix. About Ice Cream Paint, you need to check it out. It's viral on TikTok. He did the whole thing about it. It's great. But I tell people that we mentioned it on the board and we mentioned the promo they were doing. A lot of people were asking Richard at the Rogue Shop about how does this help you sleep? And he showed him about his insomnia and the folks that he's helped with. A lot of people spoke up and said, I've bought this stuff. It helps me sleep. So if you have chronic pain or you have trouble sleeping, check out our friends at the Rogue Shop. Try them out. I guarantee you'll be happy with your purchases from them. And we appreciate them sponsoring the show because without it, we probably wouldn't be able to do the show. So we appreciate them a lot. We also appreciate all of you joining us on a Monday evening. I know there's a lot going on. You have a lot of choices in your recruiting coverage where you can get it. But we appreciate you coming and checking out us on Monday night. We will see you next week. Take care.